we always say this, don't we? You know, cyber leaders have to present security issues in terms that board level executives can understand and act on. And that's certainly the case when it comes to AI. So that means reporting AI risk in financial, economic, operational terms, not just in technical terms.
Right.
If you report in technical terms, you will lose the room exceptionally quickly. It also involves aligning AI risk management with business needs by, you know, identifying how AI risk management and resilience are going to help to meet business objectives. And if you can do that, as opposed to losing the room, you will certainly win the room because they want to know, they want to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see enough of that going on at the moment, sadly.
You're listening to the ISF podcast for your organization's better cybersecurity. Your host, ISF CEO Steve Durbin, is an expert in leadership, business culture transformation, and cyber strategies for today's top enterprises. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. Today, Steve and I discuss the impact artificial intelligence is having on the threat landscape and how businesses can leverage this new technology and collaborate with it successfully. Steve, good to have you here, as always. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Tavia. Always a pleasure.
I want to start by going back in time for a moment. Listeners and ISF members will recall that ISF issues an annual Threat Horizon report. It's always my feel-good favorite time of the year. And it always looks at cybersecurity concerns for the coming 2 years. And since 2019, ISF's Threat Horizon has included some discussion of AI. So we've been ahead of the curve, I think.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, back in 2019, we published the 2021 Threat Horizon report. And, you know, we did cover AI. We called it machine learning at that point. And our view was that manipulated machine learning would sow confusion. That was the sort of title, the header we went with. And we were concerned that confusion, obfuscation, deception, all of those things would be used by attackers to manipulate machine learning systems, and that that would cause significant damage and disruption to organizations that were reliant upon them.
Mm-hmm. I remember. And then the next year, 2020, the 2022 Threat Horizon report looked at deepfakes telling true lies. And the concern there was that digital content that had been manipulated by AI would be used to create these hyper-realistic copies of individuals and do that in real time. So deepfakes at speed. And that digital communications would be undermined and highly credible fake news would spread.
Yeah, and I'd say we've definitely seen both of those phenomena. Mm. In fact, Brian Lord, in an episode of the podcast not that long ago, mentioned that, you know, in his view, we need to be teaching young children who haven't grown up with traditional media sources to recognize credible news versus fake sites that pop up with a mix of good, bad information, misinformation, disinformation, mm-hmm. and indeed so a lot of confusion along the way.
Right, right. Moving forward, the Threat Horizon 2023 report focused on how AI would industrialize high-impact attacks. And so have we seen that?
Well, our concern there was that the widespread adoption of automation and the malicious use of AI would lead to what we saw then as being the industrialization of tailored, high-volume, high-impact cyber attacks that would leave organizations overwhelmed and unable to operate effectively. Now, the thing about that is that we're starting to edge much more away from, say, individual hackers, individual bad actors, much more towards state-sponsored or indeed organized crime groups. But certainly when we're starting to talk about the industrialization, we're moving very much more into state-sponsored bad actors rather than anything else.
Mm-hmm. In 2022, the concern was that attackers would poison the data well. So as companies would be beefing up their security against traditional attacks on data privacy and ransomware, at the same time, threat actors would shift their attention towards illicit data manipulation.
Mm. And you know, that's one of the things that's always concerned me most, I think, that data manipulation.
Yeah.
And, you know, a big part of our concern there was that adversaries' actions would become much harder to detect and that compromising the accuracy, the credibility of information that we're becoming increasingly more dependent upon could really lead to significant problems along the way. Now, AI, of course, does provide some solution to that in that if you can provide it with enough examples of what good looks like and what bad looks like in terms of data integrity, then the systems can, to an extent, differentiate between what is correct and what is incorrect. But the fact remains that data manipulation, changing data, whether that be in software code, whether it be in information that we're storing, all of those things remain a major concern.
Right, right. Finally, in last year's Threat Horizon report, where you were looking out to 2025, the focus was on the impact AI would have on the future of work, provided that an over-reliance on AI doesn't backfire.
That's right. And some of the use cases we predicted there included things like generative value messaging, rapidly turning customer data into customized content. You know, in the report, we also predicted that AI would augment and improve staff productivity in things like classifying, summarizing, responding to employee queries. Forecast and budget variances would be used in business reviews, and AI would be able to summarize trends and insights, you know, for the board, for executives, upon which we could then base decisions. And finally, I think we didn't forget chatbots. We thought that chatbots would be used to make suggestions and guide patients regarding things like acute symptoms, chronic conditions, health and wellness, or indeed behavioral health needs. So a lot of, you know, potential high value ways in which AI could really help, not least as in that last area there, the whole sort of healthcare space, which is right, certainly in some countries around the world, the UK being one, really beginning to creak.
So there are ways that we can see AI working for us. I think those predictions were made, as we've discussed in last year's report. Already here today, we're talking about now ways that humans and AI can work together. So lots of increased risk, but a lot of increased benefit. How can we make the most of it in harmony with our robots?
Yeah, and I think we have to recognize that, you know, these advancements are inevitable. We can't turn the clock back.
Right.
So at the ISF, you know, our goal is to try to help organizations figure out how to use this technology wisely. So we're going to be talking about ways humans and AI complement each other, such as collaboration, automation, problem solving, monitoring, oversight, all of those sorts of areas. Mm-hmm. And I think for these to work and for us to work effectively with AI, we need to start by recognizing the strengths both we as people and also AI models can bring to the table. So, you know, people, for instance, excel in creativity, emotional intelligence, complex decision-making, you know, adaptability, agility, contextual understanding, all of those sorts of things.
Right.
Now, AI, on the other hand, is very good for speed, efficiency, repetitive tasks, consistency, constant availability 24/7, data-driven insights, and scalability. So putting those two things together, you can begin to see, yes, where some of the overlaps might be, but also where some of the really differentiated areas are that both parties can really bring value to.
Right. I think that's helpful. And I smiled when you said human strengths. You know, we do have something to bring to the table in relationship with AI. So it's nice to think of designing systems where we're playing to the strengths of each. It sounds like organizational leaders have a really big role to play here.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, I was struck the other day, I was reading something and there was a survey in there, and there's no shortage of these days, where it said that, you know, the majority of CEOs are concerned that AI will take their jobs. And I thought to myself, what a load of bunkum. I'm sorry, it really is. Because if we look at leadership, if we look at the way that leadership is evolving, we're seeing all of those things that I just listed out as being human strengths. But there is a need for emotional intelligence. There is a need for complex decision making. There is a need for contextual understanding. There is a need for creativity. There's a need for humanity. And I don't see AI bringing that. I do see that being the role of leadership within an organization. So for me, I don't see there being the replacement that perhaps some people are talking about. And I think that, you know, in my experience, AI and people collaborate most effectively when people recognize how easily they can take advantage of AI. So they're not afraid of it. They're using it as a tool. This is certainly, you know, one of the most disruptive set of technologies and capabilities that we've seen in decades.
Yeah.
So we all need to be thinking about how we can leverage it from a leadership perspective. And examples of that should include things like how we can automate repetitive tasks, how we can make use of data so that we've got, you know, data-driven decision-making, some degree of customer support and engagement, supply chain optimization. You know, I could go on. Yeah. And let's not forget that there's probably a role for it in cybersecurity as well, as we've discussed in the past. But the real key to success, I believe, in this space is through collaborative working. between mm-hmm. the humans and the AI. And that requires us to take a step back, to stop being so, you know, concerned about all of the job losses, which obviously grab headlines. And I'm not saying that it's not going to replace some job roles, but I do believe it's also going to create some other opportunities.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting. And I like the idea that you're getting at, that leaders need to work to create a culture of collaboration, not just assign the task of it, but the culture of collaboration between their people and AI. So supporting continuous learning, supporting team adaptation, reviewing how things are going. So they can't just set it and forget it.
Absolutely. You know, successful collaboration requires work. It requires working to ensure a balanced and strategic approach that maximizes benefits and mitigates any drawbacks.
What are the security risks involved in this collaboration? You know, there's no bad time to prioritize cybersecurity, but especially in this new generation of collaboration, what do we need to think about?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Because in this collaboration, data becomes the fuel, doesn't it? And it's got to be protected at all costs, as I said earlier. And that means things like data encryption. It means things like access control, authentication and authorization, regular software updates, data minimization, lifecycle management. I could go on and on. So security is really, I suppose, one of the potential biggest winners, is the way I would put it, when it comes down to AI. And I do see a future where security is an integral part of AI, and AI is indeed an integral part of security. And I think we just have to get to that point, and we need to look at how we can get the best. As again, I come back to it, you know, best of our people, best of AI. You know, we suffer from pretty significant skill shortage in the cybersecurity industry. And I think that, you know, our intelligent use of AI can really help address some of that by taking away some of the more mundane elements of the jobs that we have to do, and free up people's time to focus on what is much more interesting, much more exciting, and indeed for what they are better suited for.
I'm following you, but at the same time, there's a 2023 McKinsey Global survey of nearly 1,000 organizations that have already implemented some kind of AI, and it shows that 53% of them were concerned about cybersecurity, and yet only 38% were actually working to mitigate risk in that area. So I think this is an unusually positive and optimistic conversation we're having, but there are still many organizations that have a gap in their implementation and how they're thinking about AI.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you've got to confront some basic facts here. I think that the security industry, we as security professionals, have always been bad at getting our message across about the importance of cybersecurity. We've got better at it, but we're still nowhere near where we need to be. And that's why people are concerned about it, I think, but we're probably not being as effective in terms of actually getting something done about it. And that, for me, is where it's absolutely vital that boards get a handle on this area particularly quickly. And this is something that I do, you know, hammer home when I talk about cybersecurity and the role of the board at Henley Business School in the UK. But it's even more important when we come to AI. Because at the outset, before we even go anywhere near implementing AI, boards of directors need to consider how AI is currently used across the company and indeed by its competitors, so that you understand what can be done and indeed what can't be done. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to consider, you know, in some detail, the way in which AI can disrupt not just our own businesses and the industry, but also what strategic implications might be for that disruption, and indeed what the risks associated with it should look like. And those are all things that boards are good at. I mean, you know, risk is owned in the boardroom. Understanding strategic implications, it's owned in the boardroom. So we need to get AI adopted into boardrooms in that same way. But I also think that boards really need to think through the impact of what they're doing with AI on the workforce and indeed on other stakeholders. And last but certainly not least, what the governance implications of the use of AI might look like, and so therefore what new policies, controls need to be implemented. Because of course there are implications for compliance, and we're going to see more regulation coming in around this area, and we'll see more legal and indeed, I think very importantly, ethical obligations too. So boards really need to be actively involved, and the sooner the better if they're not already.
If you had to choose just a few areas for the board to focus on, what would you point out to them? What's priority?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say there are probably three where the board should focus. I think first, they should work on understanding AI as a matter of corporate strategy and risk. So how does it fit? You know, what is it that you're trying to do from a strategic standpoint? I think second, they really need to consider the impact of AI activities. A whole range of different areas there, both in terms of cost, yes, resource, and the outputs that you're expecting to get from it. And then thirdly, they need to focus on overseeing AI-related compliance and controls. And I can't stress that enough. And that really is the board's job. You know, we need to be rolling that into the normal run of governance at board level.
And we know that the board often needs a lot of nudging from the organization's security leaders. So how do we manage that?
Yeah, and, you know, we always say this, don't we? You know, cyber leaders have to present security issues in terms of board level executives can understand and act on. And that's certainly the case when it comes to AI. So that means reporting AI risk in financial, economic, operational terms, not just in technical terms.
Right.
If you report in technical terms, you will lose the room exceptionally quickly. It also involves aligning AI risk management with business needs by, you know, identifying how AI risk management and resilience are going to help to meet business objectives. And if you can do that, as opposed to losing the room, you will certainly win the room because they want to know, they want to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see enough of that going on at the moment, sadly.
Well, one of the points to emphasize is the need, I think, to build in flexibility. So we know that generative AI is going to develop further. And as you're saying, regulation changes will occur and the company risk appetite will shift. Nothing is final.
No, exactly. And it's important to note that with all that change happening so quickly, security leaders don't have to come to the board with all the answers. Mm-hmm. Nobody is expecting that, you know. But AI certainly is going to introduce some new governance questions. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, I'll give you an example. We need to think through what is our risk tolerance for the use of generative AI? What restrictions should we put in place to mitigate those risks? And how will those differ for publicly available applications versus generative AI models that have been tailored specifically to our business needs? And, you know, then who has the authority to make decisions on generative AI use? And what information do we have to share and with whom? So for me, the board also needs to give some pretty strong considerations to whether or not, in much the same way as we have risk committees and remuneration committees and audit committees and so on, as to whether or not it would make sense to set up an AI committee. And for me, you know, the starting point for that should be the chief executive, legal, HR, certainly the CIO, and absolutely the chief information security officer as a minimum.
Right. I'll let you go shortly, but I have just a couple last questions for you that I want to know what organizations really need to know as they're considering implementing AI.
Well, there are some common principles emerging in global AI regulation, for instance, and I think this is important. AI-related regulation seeks to try to balance the interest in encouraging innovation with concerns about human rights and civil liberties, including things like privacy rights, anti-discrimination interests, consumer safety and protection, IP, we mustn't forget that. Information integrity, we've talked about that, right. But also things like fair business practices. So I think that, you know, some of those common principles are fundamental that we understand and should really be considering.
And what about ethical considerations?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, integrating ethical considerations is absolutely essential to ensure that they don't compromise security, certainly, but much more importantly, I think, privacy and indeed human rights. You know, organizations need to clearly define their ethical principles. And I think increasingly people are going to be asking to see those.
Right.
So, you know, we've seen all sorts of different things popping up on people's websites in terms of things like, you know, anti-slavery laws and the way in which they conform with those. DEI, of course. And I think that's hugely important. Reflect that back into the organization. And it means you have to have diverse and inclusive teams working with AI as well. Otherwise, you're starting to not necessarily corrupt, but you're leading it down a certain road.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be paying specific attention to things like ethical risk assessment, working to detect and mitigate bias, ensure that there is, of course, informed consent when somebody interacts with AI. And we do need, I think, to be particularly mindful about bias, you know, bias detection, bias mitigation. those are fundamental, because we could end up making all sorts of decisions or having the machines make decisions that we didn't really want. So there's always going to be in that area, I think in particular, a role for human oversight of AI activities.
So now, lastly, I want you to look into your crystal ball and tell us where we're going in the future with AI. Steve, the Oracle.
Well, you know, as we keep saying, you know, the game isn't over. It's not even half run. AI is still a very emerging technology. I think I will go so far as to predict a few things. So regulation, I don't see that being standardized anytime soon, if ever, whether it be in the AI space or outside. So we're always going to have to deal with that, this sort of patchwork quilt of regulatory environments that businesses are going to have to cope with. Security will continue to need to support all elements of AI rollout. And the sooner that security is involved in that, the better, because this will move very, very quickly. And I think it was never appropriate to try to retrofit security. But when we talk about AI, you know, it needs to be built in from the outset.
Right.
I think AI is definitely going to introduce new ways of working, and that's a good thing. But it's also going to bring with it some new associated threats. So we need to be very mindful of that and be very aware. And I think as well that, you know, keeping AI on the right track is going to require collaboration, collective research, ethics, transparent strategies, and indeed proper industry incentives. And I think that boards and indeed governments will have a key role to play in that.
A really interesting conversation that comes off the heels of years of these conversations. So it's always helpful to hear the practical information from you and from the ISF analysts that provide some context and some guidance as we move forward into this brave new world. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you, Tega.
If you found value in the conversation today, please rate and review the podcast and share this episode. To become a member, get in touch with Steve directly at steve.durbin@securityforum.org or on LinkedIn at Steve Durbin. Check out all our media and resources. All of it is there to support you at securityforum.org. Don't miss the ISF Analyst Insight podcast, sharing conversations with members about the real-world applications of ISF research. The ISF podcast is produced by Talkbox Productions and Tavia Gilbert. Thanks for listening.